This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Tonight, I stand before you to officially launch my campaign for a second term as President of the United States. Thank you.
President Trump last night in Orlando making the announcement that I know we're all shocked. He's going to run for re-election.
Can't believe it.
Seemed like a rowdy crowd. Were you able to watch it live? I went back and watched it.
Yeah. But I was using YouTube TV.
Woo-hoo.
So that was great. It recorded it for me.
Yes, it's fantastic. Love YouTube TV. I went back and watched it as well. And it's interesting to me that this now just is what Trump does. These rallies where hordes of people show up because they want to celebrate Donald Trump, make America great again. The successes now that President Trump has had in office, it's just his element. He is so comfortable in that moment.
Do you think people are going to get tired of Donald Trump's element? The way
not his supporters.
I don't think so either. I was listening to, of course, Joe Scarborough this morning with
someone's
Mika,
got to,
and they were just going on and on about how they're tired of it. It's old. He's overplaying, you know, the Trumpism and things like that, his Trumpian ways. And I don't think that his followers agree with that.
Let's listen to Joe.
I mean, no disrespect to the king of rock and roll, but this is Elvis in 77.
Yeah.
Just kind of lumbering across the stage, sweating.
What? Seriously? I can't even, again, we do the flip test, I get it, but I can't even imagine the physical criticisms of Barack Obama in his reelection campaign and listening to somebody on Fox get away with something like that.
Mm-mm.
Not with this mainstream media. Let's listen to more.
Can you imagine if I got a subpoena? Think of this. If I got a subpoena for emails, if I deleted one email like a love note to Melania, it's the electric chair for Trump.
The electric chair. I wonder how long the speech is as it is written, and then how many times he goes in and out of what he has been presented. And I also wonder how much he practices these speeches. Does he have bullet points? How does this work? You know, because you see him when he engages in the teleprompters, especially when, you know, like, for instance, when he was in France and delivering that speech on D-Day. That's a speech that he reads off prompter. If he editorializes anywhere in there, it is going to be a repeat of what he just said. That's to me when he goes off prompter in one of those somber, respectful speeches. He'll say something, he'll make a statement, and then he'll go, "So true." And it's like, well, it's all true, right? Right. So when he gets in these rallies, he has the opportunity to really pour himself into it. And it's what Americans like about him. Not Joe Scarborough. But it's not news that Joe Scarborough detests this president.
And I don't think it's going to get old. I think whenever Trump is doing these rallies and we juxtaposition against those rallies against what the Democrats are going to be bringing to the table, the energy is going to be completely different.
And you know what, too? That the only way that this version of Donald Trump would get old is if the equal opposition force goes away. You know who that is, Joe Scarborough? It's you. And it's the likes of you that are constantly 24/7 working to undermine the president of the United States, not because there's a criticism that needs to be made about a policy or about results that aren't happening. It's pretty much because you hate him and you don't like his policies. You didn't want him to win. I have a degree in mass communications, and I have taken many classes, media ethics, media law, critical theory, going through different types of journalism courses. And to understand what the supposed upper echelon of journalism is responsible for right now in this country, it's political advocacy. It's not, Joe Scarborough is not out there being a voice for the people. He sits behind a desk and he's providing people a one-sided opinion at all times. Is it wrong that he provides his opinion? No, it's what he's paid to do. But who's challenging him? Nobody's challenging Joe Scarborough. Mika? Oh my gosh. I can't handle that. But when you take in the constant drumbeat of this left-leaning, agenda-driven media, you get the same thing every time. That is why Donald Trump does what he does. The oppositional force to those rallies is the mainstream media. That's why last night CNN, did you see when they cut out? They covered it.
Mm-hmm.
They mm-hmm. cut away from covering the president's reelection speech. When the crowd start chanting, CNN sucks. CNN sucks.
And we're going to a short commercial break.
Yeah. And from my understanding, MSNBC didn't cover it at all, like live. They talked about it, I suppose, but if it would have been Obama, would they have covered it? If Fox would have been covering an Obama reelection speech and they started yelling, Fox News sucks, would they have continued to cover it? I think they did. I think they would cover it as long as he was making statements that had to do with his reelection. I know that Donald Trump pours gasoline on the fake news fire. It's one of the pillars of his campaign that he is treated unfairly in the media, but he is. He handles it and he approaches it in a bit of a different way. But the people who are the actual ones who are being hurt by a media that is not interested in covering news and in exposing things that are being done by our government, being advocates of honesty and truth in reporting, regardless of who has helped and who is hurt by said reporting and reacting on that, it's very hard to find the news people who are at these stations who don't report with their political slant. It happens quite a lot. This is the most important thing President Trump said last night.
America will never be a socialist country. Ever.
Ever. That's really what is potentially at stake here in the 2020 election. You can love Donald Trump. You can despise Donald Trump. But if Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren ends up getting the nomination for the Democrats, they praise socialism. Socialism. That's insane. How do we get to the point where we are talking about America, the land of opportunity, where we have this thing called the American dream? I will remind you that the American dream cannot be promised to you by any politician. It can only be kept from you. when you consider the fact that we have the opportunity to pursue success in the United States, and success is championed, and failure is quickly forgiven so that you can try again for success, you don't get to do that everywhere in this world. It's supposed to be championed here in the United States of America. So we heard the slogan last night. So the MAGA theme was an epic marketing campaign to have the MAGA hats, make America great again. Something about that resounded with the American people. That was quickly politicized and turned into some sort of racially connotated statement, which is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And you should defend against that every chance you get. But President Trump said last night, you know, we had Make America Great Again. We have this new slogan, Keep America Great. And there, you know, he was kind of like still feeling a little clutching on the Make America Great Again. It reminded us of something.
One, two, maybe ask that.
In all fairness, Make America Great, the greatest of all time. I really believe that. The greatest of all time. How do you give up the greatest of all time with a new thing?
You can say let's go lose all you want, but you know what? We win! We win! We don't have to go anymore because we already did it!
First we do Make America Great Again, then we do Keep America Great.
So President Trump last night saying that we're going to change the slogan to Keep America Great because we already made America great again. Now we need to keep it that way. And I was tipped off by a little birdie that is very parallel. You were talking about Brett Hall earlier, before last night. And you're like, Brett Hall, Stanley Cup parade mode Brett Hall is very similar
to Donald Trump rally mode.
To Donald Trump rally mode. And there they are both talking about their slogans, and it's very funny. And the hilarious part about that is that Brett Hull's got DMX going on in the background. We're like, well, I guess you got to do it behind Trump, too.
Yeah, there was no clean sound of him just saying that. So you're like, just throw it there.
Yeah.
Throw it in the background. And it sounded great.
And Katie says to me when she played it for me earlier, she goes, I didn't even slow Brett Hull down. That's actually how he sounds. Gloria.
Gloria. Taking him a little bit longer.
I think I got your number. Will St. Louis ever see the likes of that Stanley Cup parade again? What else is there left to do? Back to back? Is the back to back parade even more exciting?
Man, that was something to behold. And I didn't even go. I watched it from the television, and that was insane.
Wild. Well, I want to take some phone calls from you, 314-241-9797, if you'd like to join us. I want to know, what did you think about the president's speech last night? Did you think that it was what you wanted to hear? Did you think that he is poised for a victory in 2020? And what in the world is the Democratic nominee going to do to combat the hordes of people who show up to support this president? Who stand in line for a long time, who come in. I mean, the outfits that these people are wearing, where do you shop? I mean, I want to go. I'm not judging.
Where did you get that?
I'm asking, not even for a friend. Like, some of the people in the background, like the USA, they were patrioting hard last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was in full force. We'll have your phone calls and the highlights when we come back. I want to talk to the former assistant director of intelligence for the FBI. His name is Kevin Brock. And there's an article that he wrote in The Hill. And I want to tell you, this is a very, very interesting article that I think you should absolutely read. I'll tweet it out for you right now at Annie Fry Show. And we'll talk to the author of that, Kevin Brock. He says, if you want the truth, put your money on Bill Barr, not Jerry Nadler. And like I said, he's the former assistant director of intelligence for the FBI. So this guy knows a little bit about intelligence and acquiring information, and probably has a really interesting perspective on what went into the investigation into President Trump. Also, Congressman Adam Kinzinger joins us at 1:25. He's going to talk to us about the southern border comments from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, his colleague in the House of Representatives, and also a bit about Iran and what we are facing with them as well. Stay tuned. A lot more coming your way in just a minute on The Annie Fry Show.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Our radical Democrat opponents are driven by hatred, prejudice, and rage. They want to destroy you, and they want to destroy our country as we know it. Not acceptable. It's not going to happen.
President Trump advocating for another term in office as the president. I wonder what will happen in this next one to undermine his victory, if in fact he is victorious.
Because something's got to come up, right?
We're still talking about 2016 election, and now we were engaged fully in the 2020 election. And, you know, if as long as the Senate retains the majority of Republicans, impeachment is never going to go to the point where the president is going to be removed from office. But there's so much at stake in this 2020 election. There are Supreme Court seats that are at stake, which is the biggest concern of mine, to make sure that we adhere as closely as we possibly can in all things towards the Constitution. And I believe that President Trump is the person to make those picks. That's why I voted for him in the first place. And it's like all of this extra stuff is just icing on the cake. Kim, thanks for calling the show. Hey, Kim, you there?
This is Karen.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Karen. Thanks for calling the
okay.
show.
No problem. Annie, I just have one major comment that's been on my mind for a long time, and that is when these polls come out saying that President Trump is behind Biden and Sanders, it just really bothers me because when you see the attendance at the others and you see the enormous amount of support that President Trump has, and I am always answering any poll that comes on Facebook. Of course, we know they don't support him, but I just don't understand how he could possibly be trailing because no one ever calls me. I'd like to know where they get their numbers for these surveys. Do you know?
Well, depending on the poll, and thank you so much, Karen, for calling the show. Depending on the poll, they're usually funded by different entities who are running said poll. So it could be by a campaign. It could be by a political action committee. You know, I know Illinois Policy runs a lot of polls. I take a lot of them in the state of Illinois. And I do, just like you're saying, Karen, take every single one of those polls because I want my voice to be heard. But if you can word a question one way, you can word a question another way, and you can garner different emotional responses in people. And then, you know, there are so many polls that exist. If you want to find a poll for something that supports your side of said issue, you could find it. So if we're worried about the conversation surrounding poll numbers and where it sets the president, I'd just say look at 2016. Look how wrong they got it in 2016. And is it going to be that wrong again in 2020? I don't know. But I do know what I see. And I see a lot of support for this president. And I see and hear from a lot of people who quietly... And by quietly, I mean literally will whisper, I love President Trump. You know, to me, like they don't want other people to know, but they know that I'm a safe space for them. I'm happy to be a safe space for them. So I think that matters. I think that factors into our polling. I think that factors into how people feel comfortable when someone calls their home or calls their mobile phone and says, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being very excited and 1 being not excited at all. How excited are you to support President Trump in the next election? I don't know how many people are like, you know, I know there are a lot of you, but I know that the majority of people somewhere in the middle and the moderate level or people who work in a job environment where traditionally you don't support Republican policies, you don't support Republican candidates. So people are quiet about it. But it's like the call we got from Al yesterday. He was talking about being a black man who supported Trump in 2016 and can't wait to support him again. And no one's asking him to take these polls. He's not included in any of these polls. And if he were included, he would tell him about how great everything is going here in the United States for him and how Donald Trump's administration has provided him opportunity. So I know you're out there. I know lots of you are out there. And I think that you have to keep that in mind when it's kind of the grain of salt thing when you hear these poll numbers. You can pay attention to them. You cannot pay attention to them. But we've seen them fail before.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
The South Carolina Democratic Party has made MSNBC the only network permitted to air live coverage of its 2019 convention this weekend that will feature 21 of the party's 2020 presidential hopefuls. C-SPAN's political boss thinks the party is shooting themselves in the foot with this unprecedented decision, not letting any other news organizations broadcast live from inside the convention. MSNBC has live broadcast rights, which comes with a three-hour embargo on footage for reporters from other outlets, meaning after anything that happens, nobody else, not only can no other network broadcast from inside the convention, but they have to wait for 3 hours after anything happens to report on it themselves. Fox News has filed a complaint. CNN has also reportedly filed a complaint. A state Democratic Party insider told Fox News that MSNBC did not pay for the exclusive rights, but will cover production costs. The insider also said that MSNBC plans to have Joy Reid and Al Sharpton broadcast from inside the convention, and many of those 2020 Democratic candidates will speak to Joy and Al after their onstage remarks.
So that means I have to watch MSNBC if I wanted to watch that?
If you want to watch the 2019 South Carolina Democratic Convention, which is this weekend, you can only watch it on MSNBC, and it's a big event. I mean, 21 of the Democratic presidential candidates, 2020 candidates, going to be speaking.
It's the first debate.
It's going to be a lot of news made there, and everybody's being locked out except MSNBC,
which is exactly why Donald Trump will keep doing what he does, because this is that counterforce. People don't understand that Donald Trump's rally mode and CNN sucks chants that come out of these crowds are motivated by actions like these that have existed before Donald Trump even accepted the nomination. This is the way the media has treated, on a large scale, conservatives and Republicans and the values with which they hold. So when you have President Trump come on the scene and he decides to punch back, they've never seen it before. So that you want to play this type of game, play it. I wouldn't be watching it anyway.
You can watch it later on.
No.
And just not even give them the clicks or the or the ratings.
I don't need the anxiety. Just don't. We'll wait and see who comes out of this ahead. And if they say something newsworthy, we can cover it. But it's like, why would I want to sit and torture myself?
Both directions of 141 are closed this afternoon between Creve Coeur Airport Road and Creve Coeur Mill Road because of floodwater seeping over the roadway. The stretch of road is between I-70 and the Page Avenue Extension, 364, just north of Creve Coeur Lake. Yesterday, crews had to close the lanes at the intersection of 141 and Sportport Road. The flooding is not done yet.
Mm. The Jewish Community's Relations Council, a nonpartisan group, sent a letter to Ocasio-Cortez after she compared migrant detention centers to concentration camps, urging her to avoid such associations in the future. We are deeply disturbed by the language used in your recent Instagram live video, which seeks to equate the detention centers on America's southern border with Nazi-era concentration camps, the JCRC wrote Tuesday. The group went on to offer its services to help connect Ocasio-Cortez with a local Holocaust museum or Holocaust survivors, or to arrange a visit to a concentration camp in the hopes of better understanding of the horrors of the Holocaust.
In sports, the Cardinals couldn't figure out the Marlins starter, Jordan Yamamoto, again. The righty shut out the Birds for the second straight time in a 6-0 win last night. He threw 7 shutout innings, just like he did last Wednesday night in a 9-0 shutout win over the Cardinals. Yamamoto now 2-0 on the season. Same two teams tonight at 7:15. Daniel Ponce de Leon gets the start for the Birds. The Chicago White Sox will be the first major league team to extend protective netting from foul pole to foul pole just later this summer. Currently, there are no major league stadiums with the enhanced safety netting yet that the Sox are installing, but all 30 teams do have the netting that extends from the end of each dugout to the other end of each dugout and was installed before the 2018 season. The NHL awards are tonight. Will Ryan O'Reilly pick up a Lady Bing trophy to go along with this Conn Smythe Award? We'll see.
Bing! Chandler Bing!
Man. Okay. Yeah. I am looking forward to Friday Cardinals game. Going to the game, and Friday's a big day because Albert Pujols is returning to St. Louis. Do you anticipate him having a warm welcome?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are people going to boo him?
Maybe a few.
Some might.
I think overwhelmingly.
Would you cheer for him?
I wouldn't cheer or boo.
Really?
Yeah.
I would cheer.
Why would you not cheer him?
I'd I don't have this big love affair with Albert Pujols.
Don't you think he's part of two world championships?
Yeah. There's a lot of guys that are part of two world championships.
Sure, but he is absolutely a major part of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who do you have a love
affair
with?
Let's go to Frank for some emotional sentimentality on Albert Pujols.
World championship.
It's true.
Frank, why would you stand and cheer?
I would cheer because he had 11 incredible seasons, historic seasons, that we will probably never see again from a player of his caliber, his personality. I mean, he's fantastic.
Did you hold it against him that he left?
I was a little miffed, but then I looked at the money and I said, yeah, okay.
I get it.
And then I looked at the fact that he's been injured out there quite a bit, and I thought,
it was a good deal
really
for the Cardinals.
Everybody
benefited from that deal.
But, you know, I'm going to be happy for what I saw when he was here, and this is the first time that he's been back because of the weird Major League Baseball scheduling. We've been out there twice, but they haven't been here. It's kind of odd. So,
well, we happen to be in the middle of the country. I guess it's just boring here. Being in Anaheim is more exciting.
What it is it's not because of that. It's because we have to have the annual visit with the Kansas City Royals for their rivalry stuff. That's the problem. That's what screws up the schedule. Are these fake rivalries?
That doesn't mean that we couldn't still make it work. If you can make a two game series. No, exactly. Yeah. It's up to MLB. I'm not saying that the Cardinals are the ones who make these decisions, but it's up to MLB and putting Albert Pujols back in St. Louis for the first time since 2011 and 2019 is kind of silly.
Yeah. Because it's supposed to be a rotation every 3 years because there's only three divisions. So you get that rotation.
Do you like
rotation.
Interleague play?
I don't have a problem with it.
Do you like interleague play, Tony?
Yeah.
It's not as special as it used to be because there's an interleague series going on at all times. It used to be during certain chunks of the season, so you knew that for the next week and a half, interleague play
there's
is coming.
This novelty
now
about
it's
what's happening.
All the time.
To me, it's just another
step
in trying to incorporate the DH. Designated hitter. Yeah. And
Katie,
and
do you like
that.
Interleague play?
I
just was Googling
play.
What the heck that meant.
What is interleague play for those listening at home?
Tell us.
Interleague play in a Major League Baseball refers to regular season baseball games played between an American League and a National League.
She got the sport right.
Yeah. I was hoping it wasn't. I was like, I hope
I
this is
concerned.
About bowling.
Oh, you guys were setting me up.
No.
I
you nailed
know,
it.
There could be interleague play in bowling or Pilates.
There are lots of people who... Pilates. There are lots of people listening who probably don't know a lot about the ins and outs of baseball, and you just told them what it was. That's good.
I knew it had to do something with leagues.
Do you understand why there's an American League and a National League?
Why? One is national and the other is
American.
Not. Is that correct? One is national and the other is not?
I want to know your answer to that question.
Well, because there's been two leagues since the dawn of baseball. There were two separate leagues that came together.
Yeah. The World Series is the best team of each league that plays
each
other.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
In the Central Division. We're the St. Louis Cardinals, the ones with the birds and the bat on the union.
What do our jerseys even look like, guys? What the heck do they even look like?
No, Katie went to the game this week, and she yelled many times. What did you yell?
Charge! And I'm proud of it, people.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will somehow parlay this into talking with a former assistant director of intelligence for the FBI, Kevin Brock, about his article in The Hill. Headlined, Want the Truth? Put Your Money on Bill Barr, Not Jerry Nadler. Very interested to get his perspective on this investigation into the investigation. Kevin Brock, when we return.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Simply put, it is Congress's solemn obligation to protect our elections, the wellspring of our democracy. And any leader who doesn't do that is abdicating their responsibilities to our grand democracy.
So Chuck Schumer there standing on his very high, I guess you don't stand on your high horse. Maybe he does. Maybe that's how he rolls on his high horse. Talking about how Congress's role in protecting the elections. Boy, that sounds ominous, doesn't it? Well, I wanted to bring our next guest on with us is Kevin Brock, who is the former assistant director of intelligence for the FBI. Kevin, it's great to speak with you today.
Hi, Annie. Nice to be here. Thanks.
So I was reading this article that you contributed to The Hill, and there are so many good points in this article, but one of the important things that you set up at the beginning is how hapless Congress is and has been for so much time, and the focus now, you listen to Chuck Schumer talking there about how, you know, the number one thing they need to do is protect our elections as if it's already been stolen. In your experience of being in the intelligence community and watching the Mueller report come to be, and then the investigation now into the investigation. What do you think about Congress's role as they're playing it now under Jerry Nadler?
Well, as I make clear in the article, the Congress has become a little bit of a parody of itself. And I use an analogy and say that we're really down to 2.1 branches of government instead of three full branches of government. The Congress has become a little more than a withered twig. Because, Annie, what they're doing is they're holding these committee hearings and flinging around subpoenas that have no basis in no legal basis to be issued, contempt citations and that type of thing. They've become a political three-ring circus, even more so than I think we've seen in the recent past, and that's saying something. And so the American people, I think, are seeing through this. They're realizing that Congress really isn't fulfilling a role as a sober body of individuals considering weighty matters. They're basically just playing to politics, playing to the camera, and really not getting to the truth. And what we've experienced over the last 2 to 3 years begs for an exposure of truth, an uncovering of what really happened, what we went through, and seeing our government investigate a presidential campaign. It really doesn't matter whether it's a Republican campaign or a Democrat campaign. The fact that the powers of government were levied against a presidential campaign in the way they were over the last 3 years is disturbing. And I don't think we're going to get the answers out of Congress. I think we're going to have to look towards the Attorney General and his efforts to really examine how all of this started to finally uncover the truth.
We're speaking with Kevin Brock, the former Assistant Director of Intelligence for the FBI. Your headline really says it all, because it starts with a question: want the truth? And I think that we are so used to, as consumers of news and media in this day and age, you know, you listen to the people you're familiar with and you hear what they say and then you go about your day. But I think the American people are starving for some truth, whether it means it's good for their political party or bad for their political party. Across the board, our news media would do a great service to this country if they cared about the truth. You say that if you want the truth, Bill Barr is where you're going to get it from. What do you think about this attorney general and his efforts to try to uncover the real, actual truth?
I think his instincts are right. I think what he is seeing, and the fact that he was an attorney general previously, 25 years ago, means that he has some familiarity with how law enforcement is supposed to act in this country, how the intelligence community is supposed to act, what their lanes in the road are, what they can and can't do. He has those policy and procedural familiarities. He knows what the attorney general guidelines are. These are a set of policy prescriptions for federal law enforcement, what they can and cannot do when they initiate an investigation, particularly into a U.S. citizen. And so he sees some patterns of behaviors early in the nascent stages of the Trump campaign, where it looks like individuals associated with the government, we're not quite clear whether they were sources of the CIA or the FBI or both, rub up against the Trump campaign and start asking questions and gathering intelligence without any type of formal investigation or directive in place. That just can't be done. So that's disturbing on its face. We see the deployment of a government employee in an undercover role against members of the Trump campaign. Again, that's a highly restricted technique that there's some indications was deployed without proper authorization, and so we see an FBI investigation initiated, and this is where I'm mostly concerned. We see an FBI investigation initiated based on a justification that might have been engineered by government confidential sources. In other words, the government enabled its own investigation. That can't be. And as any American should be concerned about, the government exercising its authorities outside of the procedures that are and policies that are in place that enable it to be able to do so. And so that's what Bill Barr wants to get to. He says, were the rules followed? James Comey says everything was done by the book. If it was, let's take a look. Let's see if it really was done by the book. If it was, then we can reassure America. If it wasn't, then we have the possibility of a government or a political party leveraging the authorities of government to go after another political party, and that's going to beg for reform.
Kevin, you've served as the former assistant director of intelligence for the FBI. You've seen all of the news come out, as we all have, but you have that extra knowledge and understanding of how that type of a institution is run and what is permitted and what isn't permitted. Do you have concerns over the information that is available to the general public from what you've heard into how this investigation into President Trump and his campaign was conducted?
Yes, I do. And it's based mostly on the statements that have been made by former FBI Director James Comey, by his Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, in congressional testimony, so it's on-record statements. Then they have they've made statements publicly by writing books or holding town halls on CNN and other formats that they give those of us who have deep experience in counterintelligence investigations over a quarter of a century in the FBI pause and concern, because what they're saying doesn't indicate normal practice and procedure. The most glaring example is the fact that James Comey initiated a counterintelligence investigation into a presidential campaign and then ran that investigation out of his office on the seventh floor of FBI headquarters. That just isn't done. FBI investigations are done out in the field offices by experienced counterintelligence agents familiar with all of the guidelines that are in place to protect the American people. And so it's concerning that it was handled in that way, and it raises questions as to why they did it that way. And there's other examples of things that they have said and done that give pause and raise the concern that perhaps part of their motivation was politically driven rather than investigatively driven.
So you think the American people have right to be concerned and want to actually have the truth, as you highlight here in the headline of your article about the investigation into that Mueller report, Mueller investigation?
It is vitally important. And the reason why is because we depend on the FBI to be objective, to be fair, to be impartial, to be apolitical, so that it can investigate issues of national security or corrupt activities on behalf of those that we've elected and sent to Washington in a dispassionate way.
Do you think that the actions of those names that we've seen in the national media and the coverage of this that seem very questionable, does that tarnish the entire FBI, or do you think it's a select few individuals that were at the core of this issue?
No, and that's an important point, and I appreciate you bringing it up, because as I stated before, this was an unusual situation where you had an investigation like this launched out of the director's office of the FBI. This was not an FBI investigation. This was a James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok investigation, and it was highly unusual. It does not and should not reflect on the good work done on a daily basis by the rest of the FBI. I think the FBI's integrity is intact in that regard, but I think the decisions by leadership at that time did damage, frankly, to the FBI, and the American people need to be reassured that they can trust the FBI, and that needs to be restored. So that's why, to your earlier question, that's why this is so important.
Kevin Brock, I agree with you completely. That is why the truth is so important. It's an honor to speak with you today. People need to check out your article at thehill.com. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's take some phone calls when we return. 314-241-9797. Back in a second.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.